We're talking with Kathy Bird about her work, The Boy Who Knew Too Much, about her son Christian, who could very well be the reincarnated late baseball great Lou Gehrig. So we're going to take your calls when we come back on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, Kathy Bird with us. Kathy, have you learned lessons because of all this? This, what I would say, is a great experience?
Absolutely.
And what would that be?
Well, it goes back to the spiritual lessons that I've learned has really been the deepest life-altering thing for me, just really having proof that our souls survive death and that love never dies.
Love never does die, does it? At all. Have you heard those stories about, you know, if you open up that gate, you never know what's going to come through in terms of spirits. Did you come across or have any experience with any what I would call negativity or evil or anything like that? Or was it all pretty positive?
I didn't. And I did it in a very safe environment where I knew that it was based in a place of love. Jerome DeWitt, the person who I did my regression therapy with, you know, he burns sage before he does it.
Yeah.
Really channels this positive energy.
What kind of an ending do you think the movie will have?
You know what? That's a good question. I mean, I'm believing it will have to do with the discovery of the jewelry, because the remarkable thing about that is that this family inherited this jewelry from Lou Gehrig's mother and never told anyone that they had it. And it's actually been buried under their house in a safe for 60 years because the family couldn't afford to insure it at the time. So the fact that me, this person from California, goes to Connecticut and meets these people who have jewelry that I described is really a remarkable thing. So I'm hoping that gets tied into the movie. You never know.
You never know, but it's a pretty good ending, right? And then you just look at it and off the movie goes. I already told you how we should start it.
I love it. We're going to have to bring you into our creative team.
You never know. Have you gotten to know a lot of other people who have had similar circumstances with their children?
You know what? The Leiningers, I'm Facebook friends with them. And
he's the one who was a little pilot.
Correct.
James.
I haven't met anyone in person. I tried to reach out to the family who had a golfer, a son who was reincarnated golfer, and he has extreme skills. He's ranked as one of the top golfers in the world. But they've really decided to keep their identity anonymous,
uh-huh.
I respect, because I did that from the beginning, too, until I felt like I had a message that was bigger than us. And that's kind of why I just said, you know what, I have to share this story, even if we get ridiculed. And I try to keep Christian focused on that, too, that's our message. And no matter what comes our way, we're doing this for a higher purpose.
Have you come across Dr. Eben Alexander?
Dr. Eben Alexander, I don't know if you know this, but he wrote an introduction for me for my book.
And oh, perfect.
Wrote the foreword, yeah.
Perfect. Yeah, we've got a jump start on everybody with this book.
Wow. I know. Well, you know, Dr. Eben Alexander, I just happened to mail my manuscript to him. I've never met him. And they wrote back immediately because the book that he's working on right now has a lot to do with the research on children's past life memories. He's really become an expert, and he's done a lot of work with Dr. Tucker. So I believe he will be someone who's going to bring this message to the forefront as well.
That's so important. Dr. Tucker's been on our program before, and you know, he investigated cases of doctors who have dealt with children and others with past lives, and it's all over the place.
Yeah, it really is. It's like it seems to be coming through more and more.
Okay, let's take some calls. Let's start by going to Linda in Windsor, Canada, across the river from Detroit. Hello, Linda. Go ahead.
Hi, George and Kathy.
Hi there.
I am so happy to hear you speak tonight. You are right on with everything. I was telling Tommy, I'm one of those children way back. I'm way old now. But I knew that I lived before. I remember the feeling. And I was sort of drawn in like the Western era. But what you're doing with your son is wonderful. I'm so proud to. I wish you would have been my mother.
Oh, I love you.
No, really, because you feel so alone and knowing all these feelings and things that other people don't understand. It was really frustrating and sad. But you've done so much for your son, and reincarnation. I've studied it. I found scriptures. You're right 100% with that. Don't ever think, I have debates with, you know, some people, you know, ministers and that. It's not true. It is true. It's there. It was an early belief in the Christianity era, and it was a strong, strong belief. So you're right on with that, too. And I wish you the best with the movie, and I just think this is wonderful. And it's a whole new area that needs to be seen, told, and heard.
You are wonderful. And that's one of the biggest things, is I want people to listen to their children, and I never want children to feel ashamed or embarrassed or, you know, not validated. So thank you for sharing that. You almost are bringing tears to my eyes.
Kathy, you're still in the L.A. area, right?
I am, yeah.
We should all have a coast-to-coast movie night.
I would
when this movie
that.
Comes out. That would be fun.
I would.
Are you going
that.
To bring Christian to see the movie?
I will. He's having some issues with people playing him in the movie because we just did a book trailer. Yeah, we just filmed a book trailer where a little boy had to wear his baseball uniform, and he said, "Why is he me?"
He doesn't like that, does he?
He's too young to understand it. But when the movie comes out, he'll be a little older.
That's funny. That's funny. Mario in Burbank, California, around the corner. Hi, Mario. Go ahead.
Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, and everything in between.
You got it.
Many blessings to both of you and to all of you listening, your listeners. I'm a little nervous. I can speak.
That's okay. Go ahead.
First time I'm able to get through, and a long-time listener.
Thank you.
So listen, first of all, I want to tell you one thing. The lady in there talking to you is the living proof that I've been searching for all of my life about life beyond our means, and life does exist the way they're living it. In one of my previous lives, my mother, my present mother, who passed away already, she was my wife in a previous life. So past lives do exist, and I turned to the radio today, and when I listened you two talking about it, that I said to myself, that is my living proof already.
Wow.
That past lives do exist. And I promise you that, because if I told you, if I would be able to tell you my entire life in 3 minutes, you would tell me, yes, you're absolutely right. We are, and you will believe me by saying you're absolutely right, because if you knew my life, what's it been like?
Well, it sounds like you're on the right path these days, and a lot of people you are going to find, Kathy, will be inspired by this.
Well, I love, Mario, how he feels that deep soul connection with his mother. I love that, and I hope that you always feel her presence. And then I also wanted to say that I'd love to mail you an advanced reader copy of my book. If before you hang up you can give them your address, I'll mail that to you.
And do you take emails?
I do on my website. If you go to my website.
Yeah, that'll be easier.
Name.
Okay.
Yeah, it's Kathy-Byrd, BYRD.com. So Kathy, C-A-T-H-Y, -Byrd, BYRD.com. And I've got all the videos on there, too.
Okay, super. We've got Gordon in Lakeland, Florida, east of the Rockies. Hello, Gordon. Go ahead.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Sure,
long time no see. When the Langler story came out, I researched this very carefully because I wanted to find out if it was true. And I believe my research has shown that you're partly right and partly wrong. So I'm not going to be disrespectful like, you know, some right-wing Bible thumpers. But now the Bible appears to be very accurate, except for a few manuscript typos where 40 and 4 are reversed. So I can take it to the bank that it's a message. But now there is a type of reincarnation that does occur in the Bible, and it's called the thousand-year millennium reign, where every single person is reincarnated into a physical body. This is after the tribulation, but before the eternal reign. Now, there is a number of good reasons why this is very important, independent reasons, that I'm not sure if I can squeeze in. One, for example, is babies that die before the age of accountability are believed to reincarnate in the thousand-year millennium and be given a chance for free will. And at the end of the millennium, of course, you're going to have the rebellion, which, of course, proves there's free will. And that's very important because people that kill their handicapped children to send them to heaven are not doing them a favor, because the kids are going to get free will anyhow, and it's not going to increase the eternal odds. It's going to, it's a kind of a different subject. But what I'm saying is that I don't know what's going on here. Maybe it's fallen angels. Maybe it's holy angels. Maybe there's some force, or maybe the God is helping the children know memories. I personally don't believe the reincarnation theory because of the, my research about the Bible shows the Bible is scientifically, prophetically, prophecies have come true, very accurate.
And Gordon, what do you think of the channeling of memory? Not reincarnation, but the channeling of past life memory.
Okay, well, now, what I think is going on is that there's some facilitation of spirit, an angel, a demon, God, the Holy Spirit, the forces of the universe. I don't think it could happen on its own, because like a radio can't do its thing on its own. It has to have some help for it to receive the signal. So there's something going on other than just the energies. And I believe that it's either a fallen angel, a holy angel, you know, a demon or an angel, or a Holy Spirit. I don't think it's just energies. There's, but that's, those are only my theories.
All right. Well, let's get Kathy's reaction to that.
Okay. Well,
I can respect
that. I love the amount of research that you put into this, because I'm a researcher at heart, too. And I can totally respect that interpretation. Like I said, I'm open to input, and I definitely am. And I'll just share with you, Reverend Ken, who's the one who was like a grandson to Lou Gehrig's mother, the way that he said it is, he said, you know, I'm not surprised that these kids who have these past life memories between the ages of 2 to 6 are coming out with this information, because that's when the veil is thinner. Between those ages, the veil between this world and the spiritual realm is quite thin. So that's why he believes that there's no accident that these memories are coming through to these kids during those ages. So, you know, I'm definitely open to listening to anybody's theories on it, because, you know, I'm a seeker and I'm always looking for answers. And, yeah, I appreciate all the research that you've done.
Kathy, has anybody accumulated so much information and then put it into a grouping of young kids who may have had these reincarnated experiences, where you have a room of 10 kids and they all talk about their experiences?
Oh my God, George, I think you're the one that needs to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. The problem is a lot of them are grown up now and don't have the vivid past life recall that they had, but I'm sure they could all talk about it.
Would they, I guess some hypnotherapists tape the sessions for the client and for their records, right?
Right. You know, most of these kids haven't undergone past life regression, because they have the spontaneous recall. So most of the kids really haven't gone under regression therapy.
Charles in Baltimore, Maryland. Hello, Charles. Welcome to the program.
Yes, thank you very much. Couple questions.
Sure.
First of all, your discretion, which one you think is most important. Okay, I'll leave that up to you.
Okay.
What do the mainline religious Protestant denominations, you know, the radio preachers, think of what you say? And talking about your relatives, I had a dream that I saw my mother come back from the grave. She died from dementia. You know, she'd be dead a year, the 21st of this month. And, like, she was talking to me and saying she was better now.
Wow.
What is that all about?
I was going to just ask you, was she lucid and totally herself? And you just answered that question. So I believe in that. I'm a big believer that the dreams are a big place where people can access this other dimension.
What about the media ministries? Do they talk about this at all?
Media ministry? You mean, on my part, have I heard from media?
Yeah, have you heard from anybody like that?
Secret, George, you're the first person that's actually hearing this story. We have not yet. We're just kicking off our media launch today. So I haven't gotten a lot of backlash yet, but I'm prepared for it.
Well, aren't you glad I know a lot about reincarnation then?
Can I call you if people are mean to me? You make me feel better.
Well, you're going to get some of that. Don't worry about that.
Yeah,
that's going to happen.
And I've seen it, because I've watched the Leininger family. I've seen what, you know, the reaction they've gotten. So I know it's out there, but I just really want to come from a place of love and understanding, and I don't know if anybody can fight that.
What's remarkable is that Christian, as a little boy, had these things happen before he was old enough to even understand who Lou Gehrig was.
Correct.
when he was at the grave, did anything supernatural happen? Anything unusual? Did he act strange?
No, you know what? It was an emotional time. Like, he was very emotional about it and quiet and solemn.
Because he's buried in New York, isn't he?
Right.
Yeah.
In Kensico. Yeah, it was a really special, special.
I mean, he probably couldn't even read the headstone, could he?
No. His sister actually read it to him.
Let's go to Noel in Riverside, California. Hello, Noel. Welcome to the show, sir.
Hi. Happy tidings.
You're not a sir.
I was wondering if you've ever encountered anybody who had possibly experience of going, I don't know, any other way of saying it.
Wait, say it again?
Okay. It's like hell. And then, like, saying they were there and then came back. Because there was this video, 23 Minutes in Hell, by Bill Weiss.
Oh.
And he talks about...
he went to the wrong place.
There,
yeah,
going there and seeing spirits going down there,
oh.
You know. And he talks about it very vividly. And it's all according to scripture, too. If you want to scare the pants off of anybody, watch 23 Minutes in Hell. It's a free video. I was wondering if anybody's ever been... and another thing is, the only thing that I don't believe about it is because I don't want to change into somebody else, you know. I want to stay myself.
Right.
And
right.
I kind of agree with the guy before that was talking about spirits speaking to people.
Right.
If it's not in the Bible, I don't believe it. And,
Okay. Interesting take there.
One of the messages that Christian came away with, which was kind of profound, is this message of unity. Because, you know, he came up one day and he said, Mommy, people should really be nice to each other, and especially be nice to people who are different than them, because they could come back as that person in their next life. And I think that scares us. Like, you know, people have fears around certain religious groups or certain ethnicities, and you think, oh, I don't want to come back as that person. But, I mean, if you really embrace this concept, which I don't expect everyone to do, it really promotes a theme of equality and unity and non-separateness. So I really like that aspect of it, but I get that it's scary and that it's odd and it's not something we were raised with, and it feels out there, and there's no tangible proof that you can say, yes, for sure, this is what happens when you die.
What would you say to people who want experienced information about reincarnation and the other side? I mean, how would you start convincing them, Kathy, that this was happening?
You know what? I really like the scientific approach at the University of Virginia Medical School. It's the Department of Psychiatry and Neurobehavioral Sciences that has done all this research. I do put a lot of credence in what kids say. There's another book called Closer to the Light that's all about children's near-death experiences. And I always have this feeling, like, how do kids make this stuff up? You know, like, if it's all so consistent and it's so similar. You know, adults, I think we have a tendency to pick up from things that we've learned or project. But I just feel like with kids, they're just so pure and they haven't yet been tainted by this world, that if they're all telling the same story, that there has to be something to that.
We're going to come back in just a moment here on Coast to Coast AM with Kathy Bird, the author of The Boy Who Knew Too Much, about her son, Christian, and we'll take final calls. And welcome back. Kathy Bird with us. She's the author of the book, The Boy Who Knew Too Much, about her little boy, Christian. So, Kathy, when does the book officially come out?
March 21st.
Okay, it's right around the corner, and people can pick it up where? Bookstores, Amazon, all over the place?
Amazon, Barnes & Noble. You can go to my website. I have links there.
And in terms of the movie, what about that?
Yeah, you know, we're expecting, the script is being written now, and it well, most likely the movie could be out as soon as 2018 or possibly 2019, but they're shooting for next year.
And they yet have found the little boy to play your son.
Right.
Why don't they let him play himself?
He's too big.
Ah, they need a little one, huh?
Yep.
Okay, let's go to the final calls here for you. And what have you learned about all this, Kathy, since you've been doing it? Things that you didn't know before.
You know, I'm still learning, and I love it, like just talking to these callers.
They're great callers.
Yeah, it's like I realize how much I still have yet to learn, you know? So I've learned so much, but it's not over yet, right?
Are you convinced that reincarnation is real, that it happens?
I am.
No doubts?
No doubts. I think we all have this kind of instinctual soul memories, soul callings. Yeah.
Let's go to Connie in Covina, California, on the Wild Card line. Hi, Connie. Go ahead.
Hi, George. Thank you so much for taking my
call. Oh, you're very welcome.
Kathy, I am really so happy to hear this story. You are amazing how you've handled it all and helped your son. You're wonderful.
Oh, thank you.
I can tell you, you're a great mom.
Oh, thank you.
And I, too, as well, wish I had a mother like you.
No, it took me a long time to have the courage to share this story,
oh,
I have to tell
yeah.
you, because I pictured every possible thing that could go wrong. You know, I pictured my son striking out at a baseball tournament and people going, he's no Lou Gehrig. You know, like imagine the pressure as a second grader to perform like Lou Gehrig every time.
Right. Oh, of course.
Yeah.
But what I wanted to also tell you, I'm so glad I got through because my heart jumped when I heard you say these kids have memories of stories of before they were born or whatever you said. I can't remember exactly.
Right.
But it was, I used to embarrass the heck out of my parents. I was 3 years old, 4 years old. I think about 4 and a half, I finally gave up because nobody believed me, but I never forgot.
Right.
And
oh, that's so beautiful.
I have this story. I mean, and I there's not many people I can tell to.
Wow, I love that. Well, hopefully you can tell
now.
More and more people as it becomes more of a widely accepted thing.
No, it isn't. And especially being a Christian, you know, I have to be a little careful who I tell because, but I'm really not too shy to all speak up.
I love it.
But anyway, but seriously, I remember being in heaven. My little, who ended up being my little brother, he and I were sitting near a stream, and I was telling him, don't worry about it. When you get there, I'm going to be there for you.
Oh.
You'll make it through. I promise you, I'll be nice to you. I'll be good to you. And this other man walked up behind us, and I saw him, my brother, look up. And I stood up, and it was someone we knew. And I said, what is it? And he said, I have to go now. I said, no, it's too soon. You can't leave.
Don't leave us.
Wow.
Yeah. And I could never figure out who that was. I thought maybe it was our older brother.
Wow, that is so beautiful.
So anyway, so he left. And then at one point, I had someone come and get me and say, this is much later, had someone come and get me and say, they want you to come to this room. I went into this white room, pure white room,
wow.
with a great big tall man, very, very tan. And there were three portholes, large portholes along one wall. And there was one porthole in the floor. And he said, look through this porthole on the floor and open it up and look down. And I didn't know then, but I knew now, that I watched my parents get married.
Wow.
And it wasn't a big wedding. It was just a little thing. But I watched them get married, and he asked me when I was finished, do you think you would, you could take those two people to be your parents? And I said, I thought for a minute, and I said, yes, I could, because I felt their character type thing.
Yeah, wow.
And so I did, and I left the room, and another time I was asked to come back, and then I was told to go crawl into this one large porthole that was on that wall. And I did, and that's the last thing I remember about heaven.
That's incredible, and your story is so consistent with what other children say. That's what's so remarkable about it. And I'll tell you, one thing that I've learned through all this is that, you know, basically we come into the world with this type of amnesia, right? And it serves a purpose because it allows us to be fully immersed in this new life. Because just imagine if we all came into this world with all of our memories from another lifetime, how difficult it would be. We would be, you know, going to school every day as a kid going, gosh, I want to be back with my old family. You know, so there really is a reason why even when these memories come through, they're kind of faded a little bit. They're not like so clear because that's the way life is supposed to be.
Kathy, you have two children, right?
I have two children.
How old is the other one?
My daughter is 11 years old.
11. What does she say about this, and what does she think about her brother?
She's been around since the very beginning when he was saying all these things, and she actually, one time we had a reporter at our house doing a story on Christian's baseball and his appearance in the movie, and they wanted a quote from his sister, who was like 6 years old at the time, and she said, oh, he used to play for the Yankees, and he played for the Rays, and she went on and on about this whole story, because at home we talked about it openly, right, and she'd heard all of his stories.
That's funny.
So she's really protective of her little brother. She really is.
Okay, back to the calls. Paul in Seattle, Washington, west of the Rockies. Hi, Paul. Go ahead.
Oh, hey, thanks, George, for taking my call.
Sure.
Hi, Kathy.
Hi there.
I'd just like to make a couple things here. This is an awesome, awesome subject here. My dad was born in New York, and Babe Ruth happened to go to his school when he was a little boy and visit the kids down there. And I've got a question for you, but first I want to say, you know, all the, let's just say the Christian, they're talking about right or wrong, but you know, George, we know the ghost sometimes, the Bible says the drunkards won't make it into heaven, so if we wanted to use the Bible, but we know, George, that sometimes ghosts don't go where they're supposed to go when they die either.
That's true.
And so with that said, I wanted to ask you if Christian has seen any other ghosts, because they say Yankee Stadium was haunted by some of the great baseball players that they watched. And when they moved into their new stadium, there was a total, I think, 26 home runs hitting like six games or something like that. It is a phenomenon of a jet stream heading out to right field, and a meteorologist and
carrying the ball. Wow.
Yeah, and one more thing, a couple things. I just want to give a shout out to Richard. And I want to say, my cousin Buddy buried him today. And this gives people hope, you know, whether good or bad. I think if you look at the positive, this is awesome. And I thank you, Kathy, and good luck with it. I'm going to go buy the book, and I'm definitely going to see the movie.
Thanks,
Paul.
Thank you. And I hope it does give people hope, because it gives me hope, and I hope that that can be shared with other people. So thank you.
I've got to tell you, Kathy, I mean, this is something that I've been a staunch believer in for many, many, many years. And the more I hear these stories, like your little boy Christian, the more it reinforces what's out there. And I think it's very normal, natural. There's nothing strange about any of this.
Oh, I appreciate that. I feel like it's no accident, too, that the stories are coming through at this moment in time. I feel like, you know, as a society, we really are in need of hope and faith and love, and having these messages come through children is really comforting.
I think so, too. Annie's in Alabama. Welcome to the show. Hello, Annie.
Thank you.
Sure.
I recall being Leonardo da Vinci. I recall that. And I have a list of six talents and accomplishments just like him. I paint like him. I can show you my paintings. I have hundreds of inventions. I attended law school and engineering school.
My gosh.
I'm a musician. Wow. I'm a composer and a musician, and I studied medicine on my own. That's the only thing I didn't study in school was medicine. He practiced medicine. In those days, you didn't have to go to school. You had to be an apprentice. But people say my portraits look like they were painted by Leonardo. My IQ was tested when I was at the University of Alabama, and two psychologists told me it was over 100 and it was immeasurable. And they've always told me, when my teachers gave me art classes, who are you? This is Leonardo here.
So here we are, Kathy. We've got Lou Gehrig here, and now we have Leonardo da Vinci.
I love that, and I love that she's a woman.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, the soul is not the... doesn't have a sex.
Correct.
It's not male, correct. Not female. It just is what it is.
Correct. We are one, right? And Annie, I want to read your book. So I hope you'll write a book someday.
One day she just may.
So interesting, and we can see your artwork.
With her inventions, too. Mark's in Montreal. Hello, Mark. Thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Thanks for taking my call, George. Sure. And hello, Kathy. And I'm 58 years old, but my mother told me that I used to tap on pots and pans with little wooden spoons. I never took drum lessons in my life. And I've always drummed, okay? And I never had to take lessons at all. I have independence of my hands and feet, the whole works. And I admire jazz drummers, Buddy Rich, Gene Krupa, the whole nine yards. And
you may be one of them.
And you know what? I've had dreams where I was in a big band. Maybe it's because I used to follow the jazz stuff or whatever.
Yeah.
But it's just the thing is, it's like, where did I get the talent from? I mean, I'm not saying I'm not Gene Krupa, but where did, you know, I didn't have to take lessons. And my father would never, he told me, if you don't take lessons, I'm not buying you a drum set. Well, I never took lessons. I had to rent my drum sets. And my father, would see this coming into the house. He said, what's that? I said, that's my drum set for the month. Don't play that when I'm here. You know what I mean? But I don't know where I got the talent from, and I can't read music. I play by ear. And I have four of the greatest drummers that I admire. And I met Buddy Rich in 1982 in Montreal in the dressing room, and I talked with him for 5 minutes, and my knees went weak, okay?
Aww.
And I said, Mr. Rich, I said, I followed you for all my little teenage life and my you know. He said, son, keep on drumming. I said, I never took lessons. He said, it doesn't matter. He says, if you got it in you, you got it in you.
That's right.
And that is autograph. And my four favorite drummers, George, I don't sound stupid when I'm telling you, Keith Forsey, the disco drummer for Donna Summers, who's one of the greatest disco drummers in the world, okay? Gene Krupa, was you know, a legend. Uh-huh. Buddy Rich, that man, I admire him with all my heart.
Yep.
And Mr. John Bonham of Led Zeppelin.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, good choice.
You know, and God bless these people, and I'm glad I got the talent. And, you know, if you put me on a drum set to play for a wedding or whatever, I'll do it for you, no problem at all.
Did you hear the show, Mark, we did with Kenny Aronoff, the great drummer?
I missed that, George. I missed that.
I saw him in concert.
Kenny Aronoff, that's a legend.
He's a legend. He was playing with John Fogerty.
Oh, God bless these people.
Okay, my friend. Thank you. Something's happening out there, Kathy. Here's the question.
Okay.
What is happening? Why is this happening?
Why is it happening?
Do you think something out there, some force, wants your son and other people to recollect who they might have been? I've always been told we have a protective mechanism set up in our human system to keep us from remembering, or we'd go crazy. You don't see that happening to your son, do you? He's not going nuts, is he?
No. But he is open to scrutiny for it. So, and he did have some resistance from friends. He went out in the neighborhood one day and told everyone that he was Lou Gehrig, and he came in and was bawling his eyes out. Said, "Mommy, no one believes me. Why do I even play baseball?" And I said, "Oh no, we weren't going to share that with other people."
Did he, while he was going through this, did he see? Once he realized he was Lou Gehrig, did he see films on Lou Gehrig? Did he watch The Pride of the Yankees?
Not until later. Not until the memories were gone, and then it was, you know, I was fine with it.
And nothing came back to him when he saw these?
No, because at that point he was older. And so that's why now when I...
Yeah, but eight's not that old.
I know, that's true.
Still a kid.
But it gets blurred. That's the one thing, when they study these cases scientifically, they really try to isolate the information that's going into the kid, and they need to make sure they did not learn it through normal means, like by reading a book or watching a movie.
Kathy, good luck with the book. Definitely good luck with the movie, and keep in touch with us, okay?
Thank you. I will, George. Thank you so much.
All right, that's Kathy Bird. Her book is called The Boy Who Knew Too Much, about her little boy, Christian, and they actually believe he's the reincarnated late baseball great, Lou Gehrig. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Lautasour, Stephanie Smith, Chris Boros, and George Knapp. I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.